gave himself for it. And so I realized there was a time, came a point in my marriage, in my relationship with my wife, that it didn't matter. And it just happened to coincide about the same time Brother Langer was working on the message of loving unconditionally. And it settled something in my heart. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's times, and I'll prove it here in a minute, but there's times in my life that I don't love unconditionally. And there are things in my life that make it hard for me to treat people with love. I'm sorry. I'm working on it. Brother Smith, I'm trying to implement that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. In fact, I believe that it's my salvation. I think I could have all knowledge, all wisdom. I could give my body to be burned. I could do all these things, mighty miracles. I could do all these things, but if I have not charity, it profits me nothing. I know that. I know that charity is the key for me, for my salvation. And so there came a time in our relationship where I realized that thick or thin, God is, I'm in God's hands and she is too, and we're going to work this out until God judges the matter. And I believe that. I honestly believe that God should be given preeminence. And the Bible says, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And I think about people that are in church. I think about us as a family. We're a family together. And, you know, Brother Smith, you talked about you and your cousin or something, you know, playing for the first 3 or 4 days and it all feels right and everybody's having fun. And about the 5th day, you're ready for everybody to go home. You're just sick of it. And it gets that way. You know, it can become overwhelming sometimes when there's changes or when the new wears off. But when you have a commitment that this is home and I'm not going anywhere, I don't want to go anywhere, but even worse yet, I don't want to make it to where I'm not even welcome. I want to blend. I want to be a part. I want to yield. And then if there's things that offend me or things that make it hard on me, then I need to just be able to trust that God is going to help me through those things. But at the same time, not mistreat. And that's where the rub comes. I'm telling you, it's funny too, because if you think about your job, everybody here that holds a job, you go in, you work your job, you get along with the people, and you stay off the hot topics, and you try to mind your business, and you try not to make any trouble. You try to make the business grow, make it more profitable, get more money. You know, that's the whole motivation of you know, I tell them, you know, I like you guys, but if it wasn't for the paycheck, I probably wouldn't come back. It's kind of a dry humor. And they kind of laugh like y'all do, so. But you know, I mean, the truth of the matter, that's my motivation. Come payday, I'm there to collect that check. My family's counting on it. I'm counting on it. But my motivation to come to church, Brother Thompson, is a whole, it's different. It's not to get a paycheck. It's not just to, it's not, you know, well, maybe I'll find a better church in 2 weeks, or maybe, you know, I'm not scanning the classifieds looking for a better church. You know what I mean? I'm not looking in the Help Wanted ads for a better church. I don't do that. This is where I'm at. This is my home. And so, Brother Smith, your words Sunday meant a lot to me, and I appreciate the liberty that we had to be gone and enjoy the time with my wife and children and her family, and a little bit of time that we spent tromping around through the woods. But anyway, there was something that happened this week, and I was I created some offense, and I'm sorry for it, and I want my brothers and my sisters to know that I am sorry. I don't want to be offensive to anybody. This is where I'm at. This is who I am. And I'm careful to not call any names so that I don't make anybody else embarrassed or uncomfortable. But I want you to know that I'm approachable. Brother Crow, he caught me one day, and bless his heart, I felt sorry for him, because he said, Brother Nathan, I'm not complaining. And I knew he wasn't, and I'm sorry, Brother Crow, that you had to feel that way, to approach me that way. I wish I was a little more easy and treated, Brother Wallace. I wish I had more charity in my life, that I just didn't have that, you know, that girl face on sometimes, which I do. And now I tell him at work, I had a boy that I was working with. I told him, I said, you need to get your girl face on. We was negotiating a contract, and he needed to, you know, we had some money that could have been saved, and he needed to take care of it. But that's not what I'm about here. I'm not about that. I'm about us having a good church, a good atmosphere, a good family of God to worship, to come together in and learn and grow, and our families grow and our children grow and have the love of God planted in their heart, and to let this Holy Ghost work in our life. And so that's my heart's desire, and I'm glad for the family of God that we have, and I'm learning to change and make adjustments in my life, and I'm learning to seek the Lord in the hard times as well as the good times. Praise the Lord. We've got a good church. We've got a good group of people here that's working together and laboring here in love. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not just here for a paycheck. I'm here for a life change. I'm here for a family, if you will. It's more to me than just drawing my pay. But, oh, God, I want my life to be changed. I want my mind to be changed. I want my heart to be full of love and understanding. I want to be compassionate and tender before the Lord, because I know that this is the greatest people. You folks are the greatest people in Little Rock that God has put me with. And so I want to treat you that way. I want to treat you as good as I can, and even better when I can. I want to, you know, somebody said to just have, you know, to put on charity. And you know, I heard somebody say, well, if you ain't got it, you ain't got it. Well, sometimes you have to fake it. Sometimes you got to put a smile on. You know, I'm not saying be false about it. There's nothing false about love. God's love. There's nothing fake about God's love. It takes a lot of humility to love, God's people. It takes a lot of humility to surrender your will and trust that God will even bless your enemies, if you have any. You know, and then you're supposed to love them. My Lord. You know, can we talk about this, God? You know, I had a moment in my life. I'm embarrassed to say this, but I had a moment when I was a teenager that I prayed, God, would you take care of my enemy? And they, you know, the truth is, they weren't my enemy. I just happened to be in their way. They weren't my enemy. I was just in their way. And I just needed to get out of their way, and everything was fine. And so sometimes, you know, that's just the way it is, isn't it? Sometimes it's not a matter of somebody, you know, being mad or frustrated. Sometimes it is. But sometimes it's just a matter of people, you know, it's kind of like you come to an intersection and somebody's got to yield. And Brother Harry Lane was a fantastic example for me about learning how to just yield and to just trust that God, you know, he'd often quote that scripture, can you not stand to be defrauded? And I didn't like hearing him quote it, because it just makes you defenseless. You know what I'm saying? You ever been defrauded? You ever had somebody say something about you that you knew good and well wasn't true? Been defrauded. And Paul said, can you not stand to be defrauded? In other words, let God take care of that. But to do that, you've got to be defenseless. So that's what I want to be, Brother Smith. I'm learning here. I don't understand, you know, the choleric and the sanguine and the different temperaments probably as much as I should. I don't know where I fit altogether. But I am who I am, and I, you know, that's who I am. I'm sorry. You know, somebody said, I believe what I believe or I wouldn't believe it. You know what I mean? It's not a matter of just, well, okay, you know, just, okay, I'll just be somebody else today. You can't do that, can you? You are who you are. God, help us to change and get along and work together. God, help us to have love in our heart and tenderness and kindness and be easy and treated. So I really didn't intend to get up tonight. I'm sorry for coming all the way from the back, but I just want you to know that I'm happy tonight to be in the house of God. I want my heart to be changed. I want to grow with God's people. I want to see our church grow and see the Word of God flourish here and the Spirit of God make this atmosphere where people will feel at home and feel loved and feel compelled to come again. Praise the Lord.
Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Well, there's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Oh, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Oh, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Oh, there's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Yes, oh, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord. Oh, keep me true. Oh, there's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Yes, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Oh, there's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Oh, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Oh, there's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Yes, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Oh, there's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Yes, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord. Race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Yes, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Oh, keep me true. Oh, there's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Yes, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Well, there's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true.
appreciated those words, Brother Painter. I enjoyed that. And I, you know, he was reminding us of this relationship that we're developing with the Lord, and of course it's helping us to find ourselves. You're not going to be a part of his bride if you're not true, that's for sure. And so, but while he was talking about, especially when he was mentioning what I said about relationships, you know, how your kids, you know, when your kids, you spend the night, or your cousins, family's over and stay with you during the holidays and what have you, you know, you're just having a ball and so glad they're there when they got there, but by the time they leave, you're thinking God and Greyhound are gone. You know, you get tired of them. You know, and the reason you do is because your wills begin to clash. So you do the best you can do when you first start out. But then you let down your guard and you start being more yourself, and then two wills cross each other. And then you're having to bear with one another. And you get tired of bearing with something that's crossing you. And that's how it is in relationship. That's why you can't be saved by yourself. God fixed this where you have to be yoked up. If you can't get yoked up with anybody else, you have to yoke up with Jesus. This is one of the things that marriage. I don't know how many of you realize why you got married. You know, most of us probably got married after the flesh. You know, there's a lot of scripture on the flesh, not doing the will of the flesh or getting entangled again with the pollutions of the flesh and the works of the flesh. But there's other scriptures on the flesh. It's not meaning it that way. It's not meaning it's carnal, the will of man, the nature of man's fallen condition. There's a lot of scriptures on flesh that refer to that. And I was thinking about, you know, marriage. When I tell you, it's a wonderful thing after you've been married enough years that you finally get it worked out. Because it's the same way with your, you know, when you first get married, it's wonderful for a while. But then you get to really go knowing each other. That's why I've told several people that's counseled with me about marriage. I've told them, I said, you don't really love each other when you get married. You're infatuated, and you may be drawn to each other and attracted to each other and have infatuations about each other. And you may even have a physical chemistry that's developed there. You know, Brother Green, I'll tell y'all a little secret. I don't know if I even want this going out over there, but he asked me, you know, about, he was dating who's now his wife. He was taking her out to eat, and he'd call. Married, you know, I don't care how handsome a man you marry or how beautiful a girl you marry, when you get to see one another's real spirit, especially when they're mad, especially when when they want you to go home. They've had all the fun they want to have with you. They're not so pretty. You can't see all that pretty thing, all that, you know. But, you know, look, here's what's happening is God has put us in a relationship to find ourselves and to find out this isn't all about me. It's not all about her either. But we didn't get married for me, but we got married because God called us. You know, God ordained marriage for His children. He never planned on anybody living like devils, being in the world, but He called us to do His will, and He gave us one another for, He gave women to men for helpmates, and He gave men to women also a helpmate. We're helpmates to each other. There's a relationship that has to be built, and it's an achievement to work out differences and learn how to work in harmony with someone. And then there's those that don't marry. Their purpose is to be yoked up with Jesus and to please Him. That's what Paul said. He even admonished the widows, and if you can, he said, if you can't, if you're going to burn, well then marry. But if you can live without being married, said that way you can give yourself completely to the Lord. So, I mean, our life, we've been bought. We've been called. Our purpose, the purpose of God creating us, was that His will and His good pleasure be performed. And it's for not only a relationship that we're to have with Him, but it's for us too. He wants us to have every good thing He's got. But He wants us to learn how to do like Brother Painter. It was a tremendous message when Brother Leninger came out with unconditional love. To be able to, and you know, he's right. I mean, the love of God is unconditional. God just knows that if there's something wrong with you that you can't, you know, that, in other words, if there's something wrong with somebody else that makes it hard to love, they ought to be pitied because there's sin and corruption and pollution in their life. And you are to pity that. You are to realize that's a, you know, that's to have, there's to be, what's the word? Compassion. When you realize, you know, this, they might be striking out a bit against me, but it's, you know, but it's either a problem in them or a problem in me. And we need it fixed. Who's ever got the problem? Maybe both of us. But it's such a tremendous thing to have a relationship. Let me give you a scripture in 1 Peter. And I'm not going to talk long here. I don't want to take away either from what Brother Painter said, because I thought he said some good things to chew on. And I want to admonish or exhort the people up there that when somebody's talking on a scripture down here, to learn how to look it up in the concordance and get it on the screen for them. And I also appreciate the job they're doing. As I don't know, I looked at myself on the website the other day and I thought, boy, all this is going out. Even got my Bible studies wide open for everybody to listen to. And of course, I know they'll put it behind closed bars if I ask them to, but, and see, I know I'm saying things that's controversial in Bible studies, and I know there's preachers in this body listening to it. You don't do very much in this body and it don't get found out. But I thought, well, maybe this is a way. You know, sometimes you can't get much said without getting stopped, so I thought maybe this is a way for some people to hear what you're saying. Consider it. But for it to be heard, at least it could be worked on. That's the ministry has to have a relationship, just like marriage. Marriage is, it's a wonderful thing to learn how to share your life with someone and to get your focus on the calling of God that God's called you to together. Yet there's, you know, we've got our own lives that we're trying to work out our ideas and our desires, and it's got to blend with, when you've got a spouse, you've got to blend that with. But you've got to, and then if you're not married, well, then you've got the Lord. I think the Lord pays attention to people that aren't married. True religion and undefiled is to, how does that say that? True religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and the widows and the widows, and to remain unspotted from this present world. Well, that shows you something about God when he talks about true religion being that an orphan doesn't have the relationship of a father or mother, and neither does a wife have the relationship of a husband, and therefore they're to have a relationship. Somebody is to put as to have that fatherly relationship, or the husband's part. And God, he cares about, you know, I think the Lord takes special interest in those that don't have, those that are his children, that don't have spouses or our fathers or parents. God takes a special interest in that, and because they have to have that relationship. They have to have be bound to the Lord, and they have to accomplish God's will. But I was looking at this scripture here in 1 Peter. And I want to read the seventh verse, because that's the verse that I'm interested in talking about. It says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them," talking about the wives, chapter 3, 1 Peter 3, verse 7. It says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And that's the part I wanted to show you, that your prayers can get hindered if your relationship with your spouse is not right. And he's showing here, first he's talking to women. In the first verse, he's saying, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." Then he goes on to show how to do that, how to have a chaste conversation, how to win your husband if he's not saved, who's not with the adorning of the, he said, your chaste conversation with fear. Let them behold that. Who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, or wearing of gold, or putting on apparel. By the way, he's not saying that they couldn't do those things, that it was wrong, but he's saying that, don't put the emphasis, don't try to win your husband by outward adorning. But let it be, he said, the hidden man of the heart, in that which it is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, holy women, he goes on to show how Sarah obeyed Abraham and even called him Lord. Showed him, you know, that kind of honor and respect. But then in the seventh verse he says, you husbands. Then he said, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. That's not saying that a woman is less than a man. He's really referring to the fact that a woman is in a submissive position. Her position is lesser than that than of a man. He's the one that's the head of the house, and she's the one that has to take the weaker position of authority and submit to that. And you need to dwell with them with that knowledge and give honor to them, and realize that, look, we're heirs together of this grace, the grace of life. And in other words, look, you women, you understand your husband's position and honor that position that God gave them, and you men honor their position. And in other words, you're going to have to work this relationship out, or your prayers are going to be hindered. Because if you're fighting one another and you're resisting one another, you're going to be in the wrong spirit, and you got to get all that straightened out before you can go to God. Because you can't go to God not for, with unforgiveness in your life, and you got your spirit wrong. You got to get off. You go to the altar. You got to make things right before you're going to pray and God hear you. And so, but what a great opportunity, if we understand that God's called us, He's called us to serve Him. He's called us to be servants of righteousness and to be those that are really the only true men and women in this world, children of God, that are willing to look corruption and sin and the fallen condition in the face and say, I'm going to overcome you. By the grace of God, I'm going to answer the call, and I'm going to fulfill the purpose of God in my life. And God gave me a wife, and we together have got to work that out. We've got to have a right relationship with each other. We've got to understand. And for me to have an unconditional love. Love never fails. God's love is unconditional. God will forgive you for any, like Brother Painter. Brother Painter said he done everything that God said not to do. Well, I can double it. I can trump him. I can promise you. I just don't know everything about it, but I almost my wife will probably say, "Amen." I can probably trump him. I'm a sinner. Somebody said, "What's your background?" Sinner is my background. But I'm saved by the grace of God. He picked me up out of the horrible pit of sin and set me on the rock, which is Jesus, a solid rock, something that is sure. And began to work salvation in my life. And I'm beginning to understand more and more the purpose of God's calling upon my life. And then He gave me a wife. And we have to love each other. And we got to work out our differences. We can never say we failed. Not if we're going to hold to the ideal of that God had in His mind. I'm not saying that there is failures. Sometimes there's situations that can't be fixed. But you have to have faith. In your case, it can be fixed. And as long as there's a spark of life, as long as there's a want to on both sides, it can be. And then Peter starts this chapter out showing the husband cannot even be obedient, or the wife, either one. He could have used it the other way. They must have had trouble back in those days with stubborn husbands that wouldn't serve God and come to church with their wives. Can you believe that? But they must have had it back then. But they dealt with it. And I was just thinking, my brother Painter was talking about how when you get married, that same thing happens in a relationship where, you know, now I have talked to a few people, or heard a few people say, you know, me and my husband got married and we never had a riff. All I got to say is, you big fat liar. You know, that's all I got. Either that or one of you is dead. You know, I'd hate to be married to somebody like that, because, you know, somebody that just, you can't ruffle them. You know, either that or one of you is perfect. Maybe I would want to be married to somebody like that. But I know enough about the flesh and what's in flesh that, you know, when you first get married, and that all that, it's kind of like coming to Jesus. You don't know what you're fixing to go through. It's wonderful. Salvation's wonderful, but it is quite a ride, isn't it? To learn how to get your life sanctified, set apart for God's purpose and His use. If He'd have told you what all you was going through, you wouldn't have done it. He just shows you the good part to start with. Let you feel the good part. He don't let you smell the fire and see the smoke and the smell of the burning flesh. But when as God begins to correct our lives and work on us, you know, and then you know, this unconditional love, there's something about that that I'm realizing that I can love everyone. I can love my enemy, because my enemy, he needs to be pitied, because he hasn't been blessed enough to receive what I've received. He hasn't been blessed enough to get corrected of the faults and things that God's worked in my life. And that's how Jesus could hang on a cross and say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Don't lay this sin to their charge. You know, to have a love. Have the love of God working in your heart, where you see the condition of sin in people's lives, yet you look past that and you see a soul that you wish that you could save. But you can love it and have compassion on it, and even hurt and grieve when someone's doing you wrong. Don't something about that feel right? That somebody doing you wrong, that you would have compassion towards them, instead of it stirring up something inside of you to want to say, I'm going to get you back. You know, you just wait. But if there's something inside of you that says, let that go. They don't know what spirit they're of. Oh God, what a great calling. What a great calling. No wonder the world is, you know, the divorce rate is so high today, because the world's getting more corrupt, and we're getting less of God in us, among us. The world is, but God's people. Look, God's people. There's something happening to God's people at the same time that God's people are getting closer to God and getting more truths. And God's working something out in our lives that's making us stronger and making us realize what we're going through is working something out in us. It's working that perfect love that cast out all fear. It's working it out in us. Hallelujah. So I'm just thankful tonight for my relationship with the Lord. And I know that my relationship with God depends on my relationship with you, and starting with my wife. And she told me today, she said, you know what, I'm going to start being the best woman, best wife you've ever had. I said, ooh-wee. Joel laughed about that. Well, but you know what that makes me, that means I'm going to have to start being the best husband that she's ever had. I've got to you know, our prayers will get hindered if I don't do her right. Because I'll have to answer to God if I mistreat her. Don't honor her with this grace of life. The grace of God that's been put in our lives, that He's working something out. And I saw the news this evening, you know, Tiger, his prayers are hindered. But I felt bad for him. You know, I thought, oh God, you know, here he was unspotted and untainted, and the young people had somebody to look to that they didn't have all bunch of bad things to hear about. Now they've got this, you know, and I thought, oh Tiger, I wish you could have made it. But I thought, well, thank God, at least he's making a confession and saying, I'm going to try to do better. I'm thankful for that he was willing to not, you know, try to cover it up and justify himself. He just said, I've done wrong. So I was thankful for that. But oh, I'd like to see this love of God working my life first, you know, but wouldn't you like to see it working in the world in a greater way? Let's let it work in us. Let's let the love of God flow through us. Let's practice these scriptures on love and work more on being men and women. I appreciated Brother Painter just giving us his heart on this tonight. It blessed me. So I know it's been I tried to explain today to Brother Joel what a nasty day was. That's difficult to tell somebody what a nasty day is, you know, rather than just a bad day. You know, bad day can be something happened bad that caused it to be a bad day, but when it's just dreary and rainy and cold and Sister Jennifer, you made it back. I'm glad. I thought Hannah got her out of here. I thought, now I'm liable to say something that she needs to hear. I didn't want the men or the women, neither one, to leave. Anyway, the thing about it is it's on tape. Brother Painter said it's on the internet. Just you can listen to it anytime you want to. Praise God. All right. Well, God's good. I'm thankful for. I hate it that we've got people out tonight sick, but I just know it's that time of year, and a nasty day like this is a hindrance, isn't it, to church services? But God's still on the throne. He's still our Savior. I still felt the good Holy Ghost in these songs we're singing tonight. Why don't we all stand and give Him a praise before we go home? Sister Bryant? Aunt Susie's cooking Sunday morning for breakfast, and Sister York. So they're going to give Brother Brian a break. And so Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, well, let's get here and have homemade biscuits and gravy and
all the trimmings.
All the trimmings, yeah. Wow, that sounds good. All right. Keep praying for Sister Gail Ratliff. She's got a kidney infection or bladder infection. It's really affecting her. So pray for her. God will help her and touch her. Amen. I believe He could heal her right now. Dear Jesus, God, we love You, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Oh, Savior, Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love You, Lord. Oh, God, we praise You and thank You for Your goodness. Your good word, O Jesus.